Angela mentioned it, but it bears repeating. There has been just a deluge of bad stuff happening. You want to look internationally, there are people sending bombs to other people. If you want to look nationally, then we are picking ourselves apart and treating other people as inhumane so that we can fight over the little scraps of power that we think are important. If you want to look locally, there are families and schools grieving because a young boy's life was lost because of a skating accident. And look at your own life. Some of you have known the inside of a hospital room all too well, either for you or a family member recently. Many of you have dealt with other types of sickness, with financial issues, with struggles with family, with all sorts of different things. The storms are everywhere. So we come and we do life, and we go through the motions, and we get it done, because if we don't get it done, it's going to be awkward why we have to explain why we're not there. But for the most part, for some of us, the storms are all that we see and all that we can think about, and it doesn't look like it's ever going to get any better. But yet we come, and we keep coming. You're here. Good for you. We come because we know that there is more, and we are praying, God, help. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, talking about the attitudes and the actions that well up in the life of a believer when they are doing what they're supposed to be doing, the kind of stuff that God causes to show up in your life when you make room for God. And today, we're talking about peace. So turn with me, if you will, to our text for today. It's in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, starting in verse 35. Mark 4, starting in verse 35. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Would you pray with me? God, may these ancient words be new and fresh and living in our hearts today. Help us to hear your message. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so Jesus has been teaching, and he's been teaching all day long. He's been talking about parables. He's been healing people. He's been busy, okay? So he says, "Listen, let's call it a day, friends," okay? So we get in the boat, and they start heading to the other side of the lake. Jesus is exhausted, and he falls asleep, okay? Now, if you remember from your, you know, church, four of the disciples, at least, if not more, had a very specific kind of job. In fact, Jesus, when he called those disciples, even made a play on their job. What kind of job did Peter and Andrew and James and John have? Excellent. All right, you're still awake. So, they were fishermen, which would... at the time, if you were a fisherman, still now, you would go out in a boat, okay? So you would expect that these guys know what a storm looks like, right? This is not new for at least a few of them, okay? So, just like, you know, when If you see Lawrence running, you know that something serious is happening and it's time to really start running. You know, if you see the fishermen freaking out about the storm, you know that this is not just some sort of normal storm. Okay? So, it very politely calls it a squall, but the word is huge turbulence on the water. Okay, maybe squall fits that for you, but huge turbulence on the water. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Okay, the disciples are, you know, trying as hard as they can to keep the boat going. They're trying to keep it up. They're doing the best they can. The storm has come up, and there's absolutely nothing they can do. It looks like they are seconds away from drowning. And they look over, and they see Jesus. And what's Jesus doing? Sleeping. Okay. You're the disciples. You're about to die, you think. You are doing the best you know how, and the wave is coming, and it's going to get you. And you look over, and you see Jesus sleeping. Maybe you are a lot more pious and holy, and your first thought there is, you know, I bet Jesus has a plan, and I don't need to worry. But me, I have a difficult time giving the disciples a lot of grief for this, because I would have pushed the other disciples out of the way to wake Jesus up. This, you know, I would have been chief among sinners here going, Jesus, come on. You can sleep some other time. Anytime you're ready. You know, you want to do something, you want to help out, you even want to row, anything. You know, all hands on deck. Literally, here we go. Come on. Don't you care if we drown? This huge storm has come up. We are barely hanging on, and it looks like we're not going to make it. Don't you care if we drown? Have any of you prayed that prayer? Have any of you felt like in those storms that were beating down on you, in those moments, you felt like you could look over and see God asleep over in the corner? I'm trying to do this all by myself. How come you haven't done anything? So they go over. Jesus, come on, wake up. Don't you care if we drown? Jesus gets up without a word. You know, literally, and I have this picture, you know, as the storm's going on, he kind of gets up, walks over to the waves, peace, be still. And all of a sudden, it's done. And the disciples, who are going as hard as they can, are looking over. And they all kind of look at Jesus with this amazement and awe and complete unknowing of what's going on. It said earlier the disciples were afraid, and the word that it used is phobos, is phobia, where we get phobia from. This is more than just, ooh, I don't like spiders, they make me squeamish. This is fear mixed with awe. This is what you have when you see a tornado coming towards you. I mean, this is deep, earth-shattering, person-shaking fear. And Jesus has instantly calm. And I don't, you know, I'm not in there and he didn't really, but you can almost see Jesus turn around going, happy now? Okay, can I go back to, you know? And you know, he has that kind of tone of, really, you woke me up for this? And they're going, what are you talking about? We almost died. And Jesus says to them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Okay, Jesus, come on. We're about to turn over. Did you not? I mean, maybe you slept through most of it, but you at least saw the last part, right? Why is it not okay for us to be afraid? I mean, this storm comes up, and I'm afraid. And Jesus said, why did you bother with fear? That was pretty pointless. How come you don't have any faith? And here's where I want us to hear what Jesus has to say in this. Is I don't want this to be something that we beat ourselves up over because we worry about things. What I want us to do is see what the fruit of the Spirit of peace would look like in our life if we let it blossom. That here's what's happening. If you were around in the New Testament times, you have grown up hearing all the Old Testament stories. You know a lot of what the Old Testament is. You know it by heart if you don't know the entire Old Testament by heart. So when they look at their world, everything that they look at is filtered through the Old Testament. Okay? Can anybody think of a story where God manipulated a big body of water to do something pretty amazing? Anybody? Parting of the Red Sea? Anybody got another big body of water? The Jordan? Anything else that this one's a little more difficult? Creation? Noah's Ark? Anything else?
Jonah!
Excellent. All of these, think about all of the water being manipulated. Now, when God manipulated the water, nobody else did it. If anybody else was the messenger, it was because God told them to. There was a firm and complete understanding that at this time, if you could cause the waves to create this huge storm, or you could part water, or you could cause the whole world to flood, or you could bring a big storm for one particular reason, if you could do that, you were God, because no human person could do that. Okay? So here's what happened. Jesus walks over. The waves are crashing. Peace, be still. The disciples, in addition to understanding we're not going to die, what do they now have reinforced about who Jesus is? I don't know why you feel like you have to whisper. It's okay. Nobody's going to say anything. This is all right. Who is Jesus? God. Jesus is God. Part of what's happening here is that you are getting this reinforcing in the disciples and us that Jesus can control the wind and the waves. He's God. But there's something bigger happening here too. Okay? This is free. If you are reading a passage of Scripture and it's not making sense to you, one of the things that you do is you can look to what comes immediately before it or immediately after it so that you can better understand what's happening. Because the gospel writers and all the writers of Scripture are creating an argument and telling a story. So they are building up point by point and trying to make an argument for you. So if you look and scooch up one story from our text today, again, Jesus said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable should we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed planted in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." Okay. Jesus is saying, listen. He's saying several things. First thing he's saying is, listen. How can you not get that I'm God? Okay? So you've been with me so far and you still haven't gotten it. Watch me do this big thing. Okay. Reinforcing that Jesus is God. The second thing that we learn from this, when we understand what just happened and what Jesus just said, is that the kingdom of heaven, when God's talking about what God's world is like, when the kingdom of heaven starts out and starts sprouting in your world, it starts out as the smallest seed possible. I think we've passed out on Wednesday nights, I passed out to you guys mustard seeds, and you weren't even sure they were in the little Ziploc bag. You had to look to even see if there was a seed in there. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And here's how it connects to this story. When you plant the mustard seed, it doesn't look like anything's happening. It doesn't look like anything's happening. These storms show up, and the storms look like they are the only thing going on, and they look like it looks like that God is asleep, not doing anything else. But Jesus just told this story about the mustard seed, that it starts out as this tiny, tiny thing, and yet branches and grows and becomes the biggest plant in the garden. That what is happening here in their lives and in our lives is that these storms that seem like the biggest thing in the world are only temporary. It looks like and feels like God isn't doing anything at times. God, you know what I'm dealing with. You know how hard this is. You know how much I'm struggling. Why aren't you helping? At times, it looks like God is not doing anything. And yet, the faith as small as a mustard seed. God is growing and branching, and stuff is growing and moving and working in you in ways you can't even begin to see and understand. Jesus is God. God is working his kingdom like a mustard seed, so even when it seems like nothing is happening, God is moving and shaping and working in your world. The third thing. When Jesus looks at them and he says, listen, you know that I'm God. You've heard me say it. You've now seen it. How could you not have faith? Not just faith. How could you not have faith that, that the storm would get you? But how could you not have faith that my plan wouldn't be bigger than this? I am the Son of God. Some puny little storm is not going to wipe me out. Some puny little storm isn't going to be the end of me. You forget you are traveling with the very presence of God. You are completely safe. It is where you are supposed to be. Now we know that later on the world doesn't like it. And the world comes and gets Jesus and kills him. And eventually they come after all of his followers as well. So in that sense, they're not safe, but they are right in the center of God's will for them, and that's the safest place that you can be. That what's happening here is this understanding that when we just look at the storms, all we're seeing is the surface immediate level. There is a higher level where God is saying, look, I am busy doing something big in your world. Don't let the storms crowd out your vision of me. There is something bigger happening. Why would you worry about this storm? I got this under control. Why would you worry about all of these smaller things and not focus on me? When we look at the storms in our lives, and we keep praying, God, why won't you calm them? Why won't you just make them go away? Okay, God, you're right. I need to focus on you. I know you're God. I know all that, blah, 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 blah. Okay, God, I pray you just calm the storm. Okay. Well, you know that it doesn't work like that. You know that that doesn't happen. And you know, and you probably heard this, but the reality of it is true that there are times where God calms the storm, and there are times where God calms you. Even in the midst of the storm going on, you don't have to be afraid. God is a God who brings peace, because just like the disciples, we carry the very Spirit of God within us. We know that God is at work at us, in us, doing something bigger and something more than these temporary, momentary storms. God is working something good in you. Jesus looked at the wind and the waves and said, "Peace, be still." I think at times Jesus looks at us and in that same kind of imperative tone says, "Listen, quit running around like a chicken with your head cut off. Peace. Be still. Take a moment. Breathe. Remember, I am in control." As the storms look like they are taking over your world, hear his words, "Peace. be still. Peace, be still. God is in control. Pray.